The MMA on the Rocks podcast is intended for adult audiences. If you are not an adult, please do not let your parents know you're listening to this, and don't repeat anything you hear on this show in front of them. Also a reminder that even if you fight recklessly, please drink responsibly. Now that we have all that covered, let's start the show. Welcome to MMA on the Rocks. My name is Bill Welker. You are listening to episode 322 of the podcast, unless you're joining me live on Twitter, Facebook, or YouTube. To catch the show live, you must know what to do by now. Subscribe on one or all of those platforms. Turn on your notifications so you know when the show is live. Like right now. Today is Monday, July 24th. We had UFC in London this past weekend. Decent card. It was pretty good. I was kind of watching in and out. And then I had to go back and rewatch the stuff I missed. We got a lot of family in town. So first and foremost, a very happy birthday to my father-in-law, Raul. Cheers to you. And to my brother-in-law, Felix, who's here visiting from Switzerland. My wife's sister has lived in Switzerland. I'm not really sure how long. As long as I've known her. Her and her husband and their two kids. So they're here visiting for a few weeks. And my other brother-in-law, my wife's brother, her oldest brother, is here visiting from Japan with his wife and their two kids. So we had everybody for a barbecue on Sunday to celebrate the two birthdays. It was a great time. Did a little pulled pork, did some tomahawk steaks. It was nice. And my dad happened to be in town as well. So my dad, not knowing that we were going to have all these other visitors, bought tickets to go see ZZ Top and Lynyrd Skynyrd at the Florida Amphitheater here in Tampa. So he came down for that. So he was here, and it was actually, funnily enough, it was actually his first time meeting a lot of my wife's family. He'd met a few of them here and there, but kind of informally. So you got to spend a lot of time with them, and that was cool. Everybody got along great, which is always nice. Now, here's what happened with the family in town. I know I'm going to sound like some kind of bizarre drug addict to you guys, because I told you many times we were letting our Disney annual passes expire. We weren't going back. We're done. Then after that, well, we went back one more time because my pass and my wife's pass weren't expired, but the kid's pass was. So we bought her a ticket, and then we went to Epcot one last time, one last hurrah. Well, guess where all the visiting family wants to go while they're here in Florida? They want to go to Epcot. So we bought a set of 4-day passes for Disney. And we're going back, man. Every time I get out, they pull me back in. That fucking mouse grabs me by the wallet and drags me back into the park to finish me off. He hasn't TKO'd me yet. It'll be fun, though. So we're going to go to Epcot, and then we're going to stay at an Airbnb in Orlando, all the kids together in one house, bunk beds, fun stuff like that. My daughter's going to be so excited because, she's been really wanting a sibling lately, so it's going to be great for her to be around all her cousins and play. A couple of them are around the same age as her. So we're going to go to Epcot, and then we're actually going to go on Wednesday to Typhoon Lagoon, which is the water park. I'm not a big fan of water parks. That kind of grosses me out a little bit, to be honest. But if you're going to go to one, I guess go to a Disney one. It's probably going to be super clean, right? That's what I'm hoping anyway. So at least we're doing one that we've never done before. It'll be something different. And my daughter loves water slides. So it's going to be a good time. But I do feel like some kind of drug addict coming out and telling you guys, I'm never going, we're not going back to Disney anymore. And then a few weeks later, like, I'm going back. So here we are. I also felt kind of uncomfortable. I had to make so many trips to the airport this week. So my brother-in-law got in from Japan at like 10:30 p.m. on Wednesday. Then my dad landed 11 a.m. Thursday. My sister-in-law and her family from Switzerland landed 2 p.m. on Thursday. Oh, and I picked up my wife and my mother-in-law who got back from Atlanta on Monday. So four trips back and forth to the airport this week. I'm almost concerned that I'm going to get, because I use my Sun Pass, which is like an easy pass for the parking garage. I'm almost concerned I'm going to be flagged on some kind of list. Like, they're going to think I'm doing some illegal stuff, all these trips to the airport. Like, I'm transporting illegal substances or something. So if anyone out there from the authorities is listening, I've got enough troubles in my life with all this family in town. So please don't come breaking down my door. I'm not doing anything illegal. I'm just picking up family. I was an Uber driver for the week, basically, driving everybody around. And we've been having a good time. It's always good getting everybody together. It can be a little hectic. Like, I always tell my wife, like, when your whole family is here, to me, it feels like the opening scene of Home Alone, when everybody's running around up and down the steps and grabbing who's got the luggage, who's paying the pizza guy. And it's just chaos. It's like that for like 3 weeks. And that's our life. It's fun. We're getting some good memories with the kids, and actually filmed some content with the in-laws. It'll kind of go in line with these 1 minute whiskey reviews I've been doing, which I really appreciate all the positive feedback I've been getting on these. They get way more views than the podcast does on YouTube. So for those of you who are audio only listeners, which I think is like 97% of you, please do me a favor and subscribe on YouTube or Instagram at MMA on the Rocks, and check out some of that short form content I've been putting together. Always open to feedback, always open to criticism. So let me know what you think, and I'm open to requests. The 1 minute whiskey review I posted today was a request. It was kind of an unusual one. Somebody requested that if I would review the cheapest bourbon I could find. So, that's what I went ahead and did and posted that one today. And it was called Kentucky Gentleman. Mark wants to know, how does Kentucky Gentleman compare to, say, Jim Beam? Well, Jim Beam at least comes in a glass bottle. The Kentucky Gentleman comes in a plastic jug, which is never really a great sign. I feel like whiskey doesn't do particularly well in plastic. Jim Beam actually makes a pretty good quality bourbon, and then some of their craft lines are pretty good as well. But yeah, check out the short form stuff for more of that. I'm trying to put out some more content. And yeah, let me know what you think. So the concert I went to with my dad Saturday night was awesome. I've seen Lynyrd Skynyrd before. And when I say Lynyrd Skynyrd, I mean like what's left of them. I think there's only one surviving member from the original lineup. You know, half of them died in a plane crash many years ago. And then the rest of them just aged out, I believe. And then ZZ Top, I had never seen. I was excited to see them. Still the original singer, Billy Gibbons, and guitar player, and the drummer, are the same. The bass players passed away. They got a new younger guy who did a great job. They were super tight. They sounded so good. Billy Gibbons' voice starting to give out a little bit. It was sounding a little rough. But his voice has always had that kind of unique roughness to it. Here's what I was impressed with. Billy Gibbons comes out. This, mind you, this is an outdoor concert in Tampa, Florida, in an amphitheater. This man comes on stage. He's 73 years old, first of all. Comes on stage wearing a leather jacket. And he's, you know, of course, he's got the long beard. And he's got like a big, like, wool top hat. And I don't think the guy even sweat a drop. What a fucking legend. I'm sitting in the audience drinking a cold beer in shorts and sweating, which, by the way, highway robbery on the beer prices at the amphitheater. If you want to get like a craft beer, they're getting like $20 for a beer. So I go to buy a round of beers for my dad and I go to pay. And it comes up on the little iPad after I put the tip in. It was like $42. I was like, oh my God. Like I could go, like, I was like, we should have tailgated or something. I could have bought two cases of beer for $42. So yeah, not too thrilled about that, but from the looks of the people there, they must have been making a killing, because great people watching at the Florida Amphitheater, by the way. Lots of people consuming alcohol. So they're making a fair amount of money. You know, credit to them. But if I ever go to another concert there again, I'm going to be sitting in the parking lot just a little bit longer before I come in and think about purchasing any rounds of $40 beers. Other than that, the show was great. ZZ Top killed it. They played some of my favorite songs that they do. And Lynyrd Skynyrd was awesome, of course. It's so tight. Everybody was up out of their seats when they were playing Freebird. One of the most iconic guitar solos of all time. It's got to get you hyped up. If it doesn't, I don't know what's wrong with you. I don't know if you need medication or you need to exercise more or whatever it is. But if that guitar solo doesn't do it for you, maybe there's no hope. Maybe that's it. All right. So that's that. You guys are caught up with me. I'm getting dragged back to Disney World again. But at least we're going to Epcot, so I can do some more of this short form content for you guys. Maybe I'll do like a beers around the world kind of thing. Give you my recommendations if you ever make your way there. Let me know any other requests you have as well. Like as far as reviewing whiskey or tequila or things like that. Maybe a cocktail recipe you want to see. I've been doing the 1 minute cocktails as well. Let's talk some fighting, shall we? So UFC London or UFC Fight Night 224, headlined by Tom Aspinall, Marcin Tybura. This was a quick one. 1 minute, 13 seconds, Tom Aspinall gets a TKO win. Super impressive here. I was telling you guys, it was a tough one to call only because there was no way to tell how Tom Aspinall was going to bounce back from that freak injury he suffered in his last fight, which was also a main event against Curtis Blaydes. And he did fine. I mean, he looked good for the little we saw him in there. He was leaning a bit forward when he was throwing those strikes, you know, but he was doing it towards an opponent that was kind of shelling up and waiting to counter. So, you know, luckily for Tom, he was able to put him down before Marcin was able to counter. But here's a tough dude in Marcin Tybura. I'm just going to look up real quick if he's been finished before. Okay, yeah. So he's got 5 losses by knockout. Never been submitted, though. I mean, look, it's heavyweight. Anybody touches anybody, it could be lights out. But impressive performance by Tom Aspinall. He took the microphone. He said he's going to go to Paris. He's going to watch Ciryl Gane face, I guess, Sergey Spivak. And he's going to fight the winner. He's going to beat the winner of that. And then he's going to beat John Jones. From the sound of it, and who knows if we can take John Jones's word. He says he's retiring after the Stipe fight. So who knows? And I mean, I guess it's a good plan, you know, but if he calls out the winner of that fight, then that might be for the vacant title, right? Because I imagine if Stipe loses against John Jones, he's going to retire. In fact, I think if Stipe wins, he's going to retire. So we're probably getting Stipe retiring, win or lose. And then according to John Jones, he's going to retire if he beats Stipe. I don't think John Jones will retire if he loses. I think he won't want to go out like that. And he would take one more to get the title back. And then possibly even defend it once. Because he hasn't defended the heavyweight title yet. I feel like the competitor of him will not let him retire on a loss. So, great win for Tom Aspinall. I think the guy is very solid, right? He's good everywhere. He's got great grappling, wrestling, you know, pretty good for a heavyweight. And obviously, he's got hands. Defensively, I worry a little bit about the striking when it comes to getting in there with someone like John Jones, because I think Tom Aspinall has better technical jiu-jitsu. But can he take down a JUCO national champion in John Jones, who is a pretty badass wrestler? And then I think on the feet, John Jones is just so unusual that he gives anybody problems. And I think if Tom Aspinall goes in there against John Jones swinging for the fences, he's going to catch something nasty on the way in. But, you know, he is younger. He's a tough dude. He's strong. He's good everywhere. He's solid. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm kind of intrigued, which is why I'm kind of talking it through. All right, co-main event. Julia Stolyarenko playing spoiler against Molly McCann, who had, you know, put together some really nice memories fighting in England. This will not be one of them. Gets submitted first round, 1:55. Molly McCann defend an armbar. Oh, man. That's rich. I mean, she started doing the right thing at first. She started stacking, but then Julia did the right thing and rolled her over, and Molly was trapped against the cage. She was, it looked like, in a very uncomfortable position. The armbar was tight. We know Stolyarenko has a great armbar. And Molly McCann was pinned up against the cage and like leaning on her neck. It looked super uncomfortable. Jason Herzog, a little bit slow getting in there on this one. There was quite a few taps from Molly, and Julia was looking at Jason. She wasn't letting go of that grip until Jason made that step forward. I would have liked to see him get in there just a little bit quicker. And I'm enlarging the wrong screen here. Want to enlarge this with the fighters so you guys can see what I'm looking at. But, you know, great performance. We knew going into this, you know, what the weakness of Molly was as compared to the strength of Stolyarenko. And, you know, it just kind of, the fight played out to that fact. I'm not going to go too deep on this card, guys. Nathaniel Wood, unanimous decision over Andre Feely. Who's been having a rough go of it lately. Paul Craig, middleweight debut, looked great against Andre Muniz. You know, he got him down. Muniz actually trapped the arm of Paul Craig, and actually he went for like a really nice sweep and almost got it with the arm trapped and everything, but Paul Craig just kind of rolled with it like a fish in a barrel and wound up staying on top, slipped right into mount, and then it was landing some nasty elbows on Muniz. He was able to control him on the ground so easily too. like once he kind of had him pinned down. And Muniz is a good grappler, and a really tough dude. So the fact that Paul Craig was able to move down to middleweight and take him out, he's going to be a problem in this division. I hope to see him stay there. I know he had been undersized for a light heavyweight for a while, but it didn't affect him that much because he was so good off of his back. But his MO had kind of become like take a beating and then submit the guy at the last minute. And, you know, while it's great, he was racking up all those wins and all those highlights, not super sustainable. So if he's able to cut the weight in a healthy way, and he looked good, it looked like he dropped, you know, the right amount of size. Looks like he trimmed down in the right way. He could be a problem at middleweight. So let's see, what should we do next with him? So Andre Muniz was ranked 14th. Paul Craig and Kelvin Gastelum would be fun. Paul Craig and Brendan Allen. That's a fight. I would love to see that. And maybe even Paul Craig and Derek Brunson would be a good fight. You know, because I think if Derek Brunson doesn't want that fight to go to the ground, it won't. Unless Paul Craig pulls guard or something. So first fight at middleweight, he's probably going to be ranked next week. He'll probably jump just ahead of Chris Curtis and take Andre Muniz's spot, and Muniz will get booted out of that top 15. But I have a feeling he'll be back. He's a super tough dude. Okay, Lerone Murphy, just one-sided win over Josh Koulibaly. Two of the judges gave a 10-8 round to Lerone Murphy in there. It was just Koulibaly is too tough for his own good, man. Lerone Murphy was just giving him the business everywhere, up and down. Oh, apparently Paul Craig called out Bo Nickel. I did not hear that. I skipped like pretty much all of the post-fight stuff, the press conference, the interviews, because I didn't really watch the fights live, so I was able to skip all the in-between stuff. So, yeah, Paul Craig and Bo Nickel, sure. Yeah, that would be a fun one because Bo Nickel, even though he's known for his wrestling, the dude has jiu-jitsu. I mean, he's got a couple of submission wins already. Is his jiu-jitsu the level of Paul Craig's? I don't know. But, yeah, Lerone Murphy couldn't put Koulibaly away, even though he was beating him up everywhere. This was just pretty one-sided. Daniel Marcos remains undefeated. Split decision win over Davey Grant. I think that one dissenting judge might have been a little local favor, perhaps, because if you saw Davey Grant's face at the end of this fight, I think it was pretty clear who won the fight. Johnny Parsons, TKO over Danny Roberts. Joel Alvarez, impressive performance, Darce choke over Mark DeCasey. He actually got DeCasey really deep in the Darce one time, and I don't know how, but DeCasey was able to escape, and then he got stuck in it a second time and wasn't able to get out. So that's two losses in a row for DeCasey. He's lost four of his last six, so not looking so great for him, but he is an exciting fighter, so hopefully he's able to make some changes and come back. But Joel Alvarez, who I believe is fairly young, all right, 30 years old. Yeah, that's a great feather in his cap. His only losses in the UFC are to Armand Saryukian, who a lot of people believe is on the track to a title, and Demir Ismagulov, and that was by decision back in 2019. Yeah, so Alvarez, good fighter. Great performance there. Mahmoud Muradov, unanimous decision over Brian Barberena. Ketlin Vieira, I was talking about this last week, how these are two of the women at the top of the bantamweight division right now, but for some reason they're fighting on the prelims in London. Unanimous decision over Pani Kianzad. I guess that's not going to help her situation much. Let's see. What else did I want to talk about here? Nothing. So let's put an end to that. Next week. Oh man, what a card. UFC 291 at the Delta Center, Salt Lake City, Utah. Rematch between Dustin Poirier and Justin Gaethje. Now, here's the thing. At first, my first thought was, hold on, let me address this. Rick Allen says, "You're an incorrigible drunkard." Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it. Cheers to you. So my first thought was that Justin Gaethje's grappling had been exposed since these two last fought. Okay, if you don't remember, Dustin Poirier TKO'd Justin Gaethje the first time they fought. Since then, when Justin Gaethje fought Khabib for the title, he got submitted with a triangle, and then he got submitted by Charles Oliveira in the first round. So my first thought was Justin's grappling has been exposed. But then you go and look at Dustin Poirier's record, and he had been submitted by the same two guys in the same stretch of time. The difference is Poirier has won a fight by submission. So it's going to be interesting here. Will Poirier use the strategy that worked for him in the first fight and just kind of stay relatively in the pocket and box it out with Gaethje and, you know, avoid the big shots? Or will he try and take it to the ground and submit him early? Because that's kind of been shown to be the blueprint. You either have to shut Justin Gaethje's lights off or you got to submit him. So it'll be interesting to see which route Dustin Poirier takes. But, you know, when you're looking at their records since they fought last, they both only have two losses. They're to the same guys and they're to the same submissions, I believe. In any case, this is going to be an exciting fight. Obviously, Justin Gaethje has the ability to end the fight with one big shot at any given moment. I mean, Dustin Poirier has punching power, but he's usually got to butter you up with some boxing first. You know, he's got to soften that chin up, and then he finds a spot. Poirier, much more technical, will come in there with a much tighter game plan. You know, Gaethje's game plan always seems to be just brawl it out and see what happens. Although he has been better at being patient lately. So I'm interested to see how this one goes. I would not tell you where to put your money on this one. I don't know who's the underdog or anything like that. Oh, yeah, and this is apparently for the resurrected BMF championship for some reason. I don't know why we're doing that. It's ridiculous. I don't give a shit. So co-main event. This is a fun one. Jan Blachowicz and Alex Pereira. And I'm excited for this because we're getting one step closer to my dream fight of Alex Pereira and Jiří Procházka. I can't wait to see that fight. I hope it comes together one day. It's interesting, man. You know, Pereira is moving up from middleweight, but he's a big dude. He is really big. He really does have the frame of a light heavyweight. I think the only reason he ever fought at middleweight was to fight Adesanya. Now he's got that behind him. He's at his proper weight class. But Blachowicz just has, what, four times as much experience? He's got huge punching power. 40 years old, though. But, you know, they're practically heavyweights, so we can let that slide. He's got the big punching power. He's awkward on the ground. He's heavy on top. I think it's going to be problems for Padilla if Blachowicz can get the fight to the ground. Maybe he won't be able to submit him because Glover Teixeira says that Padilla is really good on the ground, but I think he will be able to kind of hold him down and wear him out. Unfortunately, this is only a 3-round fight. I was thinking when Jamahal Hill gave the title back that they would just make this a title fight. It would make sense, but I think Dana may still be a little bitter towards Blachowicz because of that last draw with Ankalaev, I believe. So yeah, I don't think he was in good enough graces, but he said the UFC put it in his contract that if he wins this fight, he's going to be fighting for the title. So I don't know if it's going to be him and Jiří that'll fight for the belt, but supposedly that's happening. Wonderboy Thompson against Michel Pereira. This is a fun fight. These guys both have really exciting striking styles. Wonderboy, you would think, should be able to stay composed in there, control the range, control the distance, stay away from the wild stuff from Pereira, and be able to get the job done here by either outpointing him or knocking him out late in the fight. But Pereira is one of these dudes, man, that he throws some wacky stuff and he could catch you. I mean, Wonderboy got caught by surprise by Anthony Pettis with a big shot off the cage, kind of an unusual strike. So who knows what could happen here. Wonderboy, I think, is also 40. Is that right? Let's see. Let me just not talk like I don't have the answers at my fingertips. Yeah, turned 40 in February. All right. He's coming off of that slugfest with Kevin Holland back in December. Fun fight. Tony Ferguson and Bobby Green. I'm really excited for this fight. If it was happening 5 years ago, I would be thrilled. This would be like, put it as the main event for all I care. I don't know. I hope Tony doesn't get hurt, I guess. Here's a really fun one. Michael Chiesa and Kevin Holland. These guys are both really good grapplers. I think Michael Chiesa has much better wrestling. The stand-up, Kevin Holland might have a bit of an edge there. I mean, he was able to strike with Wonderboy for the most part. But I think even though Kevin Holland's really good off his back, I don't think he's good enough to deal with someone like Chiesa on top. So if Chiesa gets him to the ground, I think it's going to be big problems for Kevin Holland. But if it stays on the feet, then it'll be interesting. This is a really fun fight. I like that a lot. Gabriel Bonfim, 14-0. One of the Bonfim brothers. Super exciting. These guys are getting in there with Trevin Giles. That's a fun fight. And then here is the head scratcher of the decade. Derek Lewis on the prelims. Did we ever think we would see the day? Derek Lewis is on the prelims against Marcos Rogério de Lima. This is a fun fight. I mean, I know Derek Lewis hasn't been on a hot streak as of late. All right, lost 4 of his last 5. But man, I think you throw Derek Lewis on the main card still, because I mean, he's got the most knockouts in UFC history, right? So there's a chance you could see some fireworks. Let's see. On Sherdog, they have Jake Matthews against Darius Flowers, but that's not the original matchup I saw. I saw Jake Matthews versus Miguel Baeza. So I have two different sources here telling me two different things. The Baeza fight is really interesting. Jake Matthews and Miguel Baeza would be awesome. And then Matthew Semlesberger, who's another really exciting guy. Don't understand why he's on the prelims either. I mean, I guess I understand because it's a pay-per-view. Maybe if it was a fight night, you bump him up to the main card. He's fighting Uros Medic. And then Miranda Maverick versus Priscilla Cachoeira. Miranda Maverick just fought a few weeks ago, didn't she? She's looking to get back in the win column right away. Great card. This is going to be really exciting. So if I survive another trip to Disney World in July, by the way, guys, it's been 90 plus degrees every day and super humid. So it's going to be a struggle, guys, but, you know, first world problems, I'll get through it and we'll have a good time. So yeah, anything else going on? Let me just check the news real quick. I guess I could have done this like before the show, but you know, what's the fun in that? I don't like preparing to talk to you guys. Molly McCann planning to drop to 115 pounds after that loss. Okay. I mean, I know she's had some weight issues in the past. And yeah, that's it. Light week for news, guys. If there's anything I missed, let me know. If there's any fights from UFC London that I didn't talk about that I should have, let me know what it is. I probably missed it. And I'll go back and watch it. I would really love to hear some requests for you guys for these short content videos. So if there's any whiskey or tequila or anything like that that you would like me to review, please leave a comment on YouTube, preferably. But you can leave it anywhere. You can leave it on one of the Instagram videos, and I'll find it and I'll use it to make the video. I have a lot of fun with these. I'm getting a little better with the video editing and stuff. So I'm having a good time with it, and I would like to continue doing them. So please provide me with some ideas of things you would like to see, and I'll do my best to put it together for you. If you want to grab some MMA in the Rocks merchandise, you can do so through our friends at Team Reaper. Reaper1.co is the website. You can use the promo code MMARocks10. That's MMAROCKS10. Save yourself 10% on your entire order, whether you are ordering my merchandise or not. Because full disclosure, if you buy merchandise from me, I will spend the money on alcohol. So if you don't want to fuel that habit, then don't buy yourself an over-the-top, under-the-influence t-shirt, tank top, or hoodie. As much as I would love for you to own one. In any case, I appreciate you guys tuning in. I appreciate all the positive feedback on the short form content, and I'm going to try and keep putting that out on a regular basis in addition to the weekly show. So I'm putting in a little more effort. So I hope it doesn't go unnoticed. That's all I got for this week. Until next time, cheers, everybody. Goodbye.